Share my. Hang on one second. I'm going to share my screen with you. Not a whole lot of PowerPoint, but just for a second here so we can think up on why we're here. Welcome, everybody. It's nice to see some familiar faces. Hi, by the way, Mary, I didn't say hi to you. Good to see everybody here. So thank you for joining. This is the ODF and Business Agility Institute. We called it sort of an on-ramp where it's a joint community. Actually, I'll show you a slide on that. Of business agility and org design coming together, because we felt like there's so much synergy between these groups. Org design is so important for business agility and vice versa that we wanted to bring the communities together. And so this is our fourth session of talking about different topics that affect both communities, and we're sharing and sort of kind of building this sub-community in the middle here. And I'll give you a little bit about what our thought pattern is here. It was really to first just establish this anchor of having compounding the impact of both communities by bringing them together. So we did that. And then we wanted to do some sharing and learning, which we did through a few sessions of just sharing, like Org Design 101, Business Agility 101. And then we moved into this cross-pollination, and that's where we are now. So last time we shared different business challenges and how we handle them. How do you handle this business challenge in org design? How do you handle it with business agility? Can we share? And today we're cross-pollinating about tools and techniques. And the ultimate goal here is to create new possibilities and reimagine together once we really build this community and get to know each other. So we're still in the get to know each other phase, but we're really almost ready to move into creating new things together as a community. Questions on that? Any comments on this? I show this before every joint session, but I wanted to make sure that everyone saw that. That's what our goal is. Okay, and then just a couple of announcements. I can do them at the end again, but I want to make sure you don't miss them. There is the Business Agility Conference coming up in New York, where I am, yay, on March 23rd and 24th. So please join us. We would love to have org design folks there as well to start to have the communities meet in person. And then the reverse of that is happening in April. We have the Org Design Forum Conference in Louisville, April 12th to April 14th. And we will be doing pre-conference workshops, one on business agility led by yours truly, and one on org design led by our board chair, Cynthia. So please come to that, sign up. I wish I could be in both sessions, but I can't. But you know, there's a lot of cross-pollination and possibility building there. Okay, so with that, let's tee up this session. So this session is about tools and techniques, and I know some of you have put some stuff into House Space, so we'll take a look at that. Some of you had volunteered to share some tools, but I'm going to start it off by welcoming Sally Alada from Agility Health. And Sally is going to give us a little bit of the landscape of like tools that she's aware of and maybe share a little bit about Agility Health as well. So Sally, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for joining today. It's a pleasure to be here with all of you. I see some familiar faces. I am Sally. I'm the founder of Agility Health. We are an enterprise measurement and continuous improvement platform. But today I wanted to take a step back and look at what are all of the tools that I would consider under that enterprise or business agility tooling, and what can all of you contribute towards tools that you've already been using. The categories that I want to talk about for all of us to engage with here is, you know, all the way from enterprise planning and portfolio management to sort of a bucket. We do have design thinking and brainstorming and ideation tools that we use usually when we're doing product management, product discovery, and even road mapping. Another category is the ALM, the work management platforms, like where do you put your backlog? Where do you do your team level planning? Obviously, I'm going to talk about measurements and metrics platforms such as Agility Health, but also OKR tools that are out there. And we've got, you know, Carol here with us as well. So what are those tools that we could use from an outcome perspective? And then finally, obviously, Zoom is one that we use every single day, but we've got these collaboration tools, whether it's Teams or Slack, or, you know, how do we talk to each other? How do we meet each other? How do we actually engage with each other? So first thing I wanted to do is just ask for your own feedback and input for folks that are here. So I have a little Slido set up for you, and the chat is coming your way. So if you don't mind just going to that Slido, and the question is quite simple, which is, let's go over here to the Slido. And the question is, what tools do you use for what? So let's just get, you know, I use Miro for blah. We use Jira Align for XYZ. We use XYZ to do our OKRs. Let's just hear from the community. What are you guys already aware of? And what do you love? Especially ones that you love, okay? If you don't like it so much, don't put it up here. I'm just kidding. And again, you can click on the link or you can go to slido.com directly and put in the number that you see here at the bottom. All right, we see Miro, Jira for backlog management, Mural. Took me forever to say Mural versus Miro. Everybody used to think it's the same thing. I'm like, no, they're two different actually. Trello for tracking work, spreadsheets for everything. There's a new spreadsheet type that's like on steroids. What is that thing called? Everybody at Google and other people. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? It's like a spreadsheet on steroids. Oh my gosh, it's so popular. But of course, I forgot its name. I haven't used it before.
Is it Airtable?
Airtable. Yes, it's Airtable, Evan. Have you used it?
We're just starting to with a few of our things. I don't think we've scratched the surface of what it can do, but I have to admit, I'm the one who wrote the spreadsheet one. We use Google Sheets, but we have like scripts.
Oh, look at Airtable. I just,
oh my goodness.
That are like addicted to Airtable.
I hate Airtable.
You hate it? Oh, so it must be a love thing.
We used it when I worked at Twilio and it kind of became a dumping ground for stuff. So nobody could find anything and you really have to be trained well on it. And if you don't use it, it's like any tool, right? If you don't use it for the right reasons, you don't get what you're looking for.
Yep.
So, I think that was wrong. What was wrong with it? Used for the wrong purpose. It was used for too many things. And I think that's what people need to, there's a purpose for everything, right?
Yes. And I do see Smartsheet was added. That's another really great one. Okay, wonderful. So let's just take a look real quickly. So you see Google Slides, Google Meet, Session Lab to plan workshops. That's cool. Did you guys know that? You can plan workshops on Session Lab. That's really awesome. Slack, Teams, WhatsApp, Trello, Jamboard for quick and dirty collaboration. Is it called Obeya for visual management?
Iobeya.
Thank you. And then we've got Crisp for canceling background noise or view. Smartsheet, House Space for collaborative community, Microsoft Teams, Google Tasks to manage the to-do. That's wonderful. Thank you guys for giving us Mural and Miro and obviously OKRs. Great. Oh, that's wonderful. So what I wanted to share with you is I wanted just to give you a tour of the ones obviously that we use the most. I'll start with Agility Health because it's open for me and it's easy for me to explain. So when you think about the categories of tool, when you're thinking about measurement and continuous improvement, that's when you can think about Agility Health. We have three types of metrics that we track. Maturity, which is our beautiful radars. What's the health? How are the practices and the behaviors at the team level, at the team of team level? How are we maturing towards those? Performance is Agility Health integrates and pulls data from Jira and other tools to understand what is the performance. Those are quantitative metrics, they're actual output. But I also love that we can also display outcomes and OKRs right next to each other. And to me, that's the power of visualizing. So I just actually open them up so you can see them. Visualizing your outcomes. So this is an organization, this is a portfolio, this is a product line, and then these are teams. What are the OKRs that we are working on and are we achieving them or not based on the impact metrics or the leading indicators at whatever level? So I can kind of see easily, are the teams aligned to outcomes? Are they achieving the outcomes? And if you don't like what you're seeing over here, because maybe outcomes are not being achieved, then you would just click on insights. And the insights would tell you, okay, what's the problem? Is it a maturity problem? Is it a performance problem? Are those teams maturing? Do they have the right clarity, the right leadership, the right foundation, the right performance? And when you look at the quantitative metrics, especially if they are a software team, is there any of these that's a problem? So that's my biggest vision always has been, can I see outcomes and see business results at every level of the organization. And if we're not achieving those OKRs, can I switch right over and say, what are the leading indicators that are telling me that something's not going right? And then the most important part of the question is, what can I do about it now? And what can I do about it is what we call growth items. So I believe strongly that any platform that gives you metrics should give you actions, because measurement without action is worthless data. If we're only measuring and we're only creating beautiful dashboards for executives to use, we're wasting everybody's time. We need to make sure that every dashboard has action items, growth plans. What is it that we need to invest in to actually improve from whatever the problems that we saw above? So I'm just going to pause. That was just as quickly as I'm going to go through Agility Health. And for those of you that are familiar, yes, we have radars. And those radars are a visual representation of the maturity of the teams and where is it that they need to improve. So any questions about measurements, metric maturity, before I show you some of the other tools that we use frequently? Most people today that tell me that they're measuring their team will build their own survey internally, or will use a survey tool that's external, but there's a lot of build it on your own. And the only challenge that I see with build it on your own is it becomes so much about sending a survey to people. And a lesson learned for us is these should be facilitated workshops. People should come together. They should be having a conversation. They should be jointly creating an action plan as opposed to just getting a survey at their desk. That's uninspiring. And most people are survey fatigued and just don't want to continue to complete more surveys at their desk.
So I did have a clarification question. So the data sources to build out this picture, it's a survey and it's workshops?
It's the workshop where teams are coming together. Mm-hmm. They are answering questions that is launched in a survey, but they're doing that within almost like a retrospective. You know how you use retrospectives today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The questions that they get are crawl, walk, run, fly. So for example, we're trying to assess our goals and outcome alignment. If you believe we do not really have any defined or measurable goals, if you agree to that, then you select a 1 or a 2 on the scale. We do create goals, but they're very output oriented. They're not value oriented. Then you would select a 3 to a 5. And in that workshop, people are answering all of the questions. They're visualizing the results real time. And then they're having an open, honest conversation about how this team is doing. Obviously, there's a lot of textual responses that they could evaluate as well. And in that same workshop, they need to develop an action plan, a growth plan, which is what are they going to do to get better in the next 3 months? Because like I mentioned, you know, if we're just looking at data and if we're just looking at the survey data, but we're not developing the growth plan, then it's kind of a very old school way to measure and grow, which is just based on surveys and not based on collaborative conversations. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Great. So this is what a measurement platform does, is it allows you to measure, to inspect, to adapt, but it can also give you recommendations for where to improve beyond just a survey. Let me go over now to Miro. I wanted to show you how we use Miro because I think Miro is just awesome. We have something called an outcome discovery board. So I just mentioned to you guys about an OKR. You guys remember we just talked about there's an objective and a key result. And this is wonderful. Like I have this OKR, I have this objective. Here's my hypothesis. Here's my key result. How can I use the design thinking tools that are out there to discover? Does everybody know what we mean by product discovery before delivery? To discover on something?
Yes.
Can anybody explain what does it mean to discover before you deliver, anybody on the team? Don't be shy. There's no wrong answer.
I think discovery is the combination of information gathering and also, you know, kind of forming and testing hypotheses and doing diagnosis to try to get down to, you know, what's actually happening, what are the root causes, what are the system dynamics.
Absolutely. what's really going on before we just fall in love with an idea and begin to actually implement it. Let's make sure we're solving the right problem and that we've experimented and that we've generated the right options and decided. Most of us today, we would take that outcome card and immediately break it down to epics and features and deliverables and not necessarily do discovery. So obviously I'm in love with the Mobius Loop. You guys, there's so many other tools out there. I love the Mobius Loop by Gabriella. And so we take her Mobius Loop and take these models and basically begin to answer the questions of what are the options, what's the why. But I want to just to visualize for you the power of being able to create one board that has all of your mock-ups, even your customer journey, even your personas. That's the power of Miro, is Miro can just in one board allow you to put all of your discovery tools together around a specific outcome. We also use it for org design. Since you guys are an org design, I wanted you to see how we use Miro when we're talking to a customer to design their teams to, you know, identify, is that role healthy or unhealthy? We put like little check marks or X's, what's the purpose of the team? So Miro is a great, great, great tool for org design and for design thinking. Another tool I wanted to show you is Atlassian, because everybody uses Atlassian. So there's lots of products that Atlassian offers. The most popular would be Jira and Confluence for online collaboration, and probably Jira Align for some of the, you know, portfolio level planning. And OKRs, just because I showed you our OKR dashboard, I don't want you to think that there aren't other OKR dashboards. These are some of the other OKR dashboards that are available online. Again, what our vision was, maturity, performance, and outcomes all next to each other make a lot of sense, as opposed to I manage my OKRs here and I manage my output there. So that these are great OKR tools. So that's what I wanted to share. And that's it for me. I hope some of these are helpful and valuable. Any questions or feedback or about any of those tools I shared?
Thank you so much, Sally. And if there's two, if questions come up as we go through, are you going to hang around for a bit? Do we have
absolutely you? Yes, absolutely.
Good, good. What a nice surprise. Yeah. So if questions come up as we go through the other tools, maybe like how is this similar or different? Maybe we can bring you back over. Thank you so much. That gave us a good lay of the land for a bunch of tools. And I know in the house space, so I'm looking in the house space, and some of you had volunteered to share some tools as well. And we can be flexible here, so we can do stuff that's not in the house space, but let's just start there anyway. So Jim Dowling, I see you had volunteered 333 and something. What three words best describe outcomes? Do you want to tell us a little bit about that? Let's see if Jim's with us.
I said a microphone would be helpful, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah, we're gonna put you on the screen too.
There we go.
Cool. So tell us about your tool, how do you say it?
Yeah, just a really simple pair of tools. One is, what's the big question? So we have the question marks. And then what's the answer in three words? Three sentences, one each describing a word, and three paragraphs, disambiguating the sentences and the words. And the idea is, how do you engage a group? Let's say an executive team. And we'll say, so we're about to reorganize your IT function. In three words, what describes the perfectly designed IT organization function for your company? And we ask each of the executives to write three words, one each on a post-it note. And let's say we have six executives, we'll usually come up with 20 words, 20 unique words. And they'll say, okay, now you need to negotiate that down to six, because people can't solve all those problems at the same time. And there is where we discover the discord among the executive team that would normally not be discovered until at least the first stage gate of a project, or worst case, way down the line on a project. So that can be applied to any big question. What is the purpose of your company? What's the purpose of your team? What's your team's mission? start them off with as few words as possible and build out from there. And always start from a big question, not little ones like, how are you going to do this? But try to get the fundamental questions out of the way. And I think any of us who've done organization design work, we could probably get together with two or three people and come up with a dozen or so of those things that often don't come into the radar screen until well into the process of the design. And a team is making recommendations back to a senior group, and the senior group is saying, no, that's off limits. That's out of bounds. So maybe the question is, so what's in bounds and what's out of bounds? And it's deceptively powerful, especially when you get to, okay, now define each of those words. And then ask the group to say, so which words do you think might not be or may appear to be ambiguous to everyone else? And eventually what you get to is the solid footing for taking the next step. And then at the next step. So if those are the outcomes that you want, what are your boundaries? What are the three most significant boundaries? From there, you get your key result areas, which fall within achieving the objectives and the boundaries conditions that you've been given. And you can generate your OKRs from there, or anything else for that matter. So just think of it in general, three words, three sentences, three paragraphs, and then disambiguating paragraphs so that you get a shared mindset about any concept that you're going to use and depend on.
That's great, Jim. Thank you. Does anyone have questions for Jim? I have a question, but I'll hold mine. I'll let you go first. Anyone have questions about this tool? You could either throw it in the chat or you can speak right up. Well, I'll start with my question to see if then others will roll in. So this is so good, Jim, because I'm sure we've all had the experience. I know I have the experience a lot where you try and do anything with a group. If it's vision, mission, purpose, OKRs even, and it ends up being just a big word salad of all the words. So really holding it to three words, three sentences, three paragraphs is a great tool to hone it down. Do you have, so there's a question in there. So how do you get that? Like, how do you facilitate that negotiation when it's like this and this and this and this?
Yeah, so if you think of it physically, if you're in a group, you've got a wall, you can use Miro, you can use any of the tools to post the post-it notes, but you let them know that the objective is to get down to six words that everyone here understands what they mean, and the team that's going to be assigned to this work understands what they need to deliver on the end. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a trick because they don't believe you that they can do it in six words. So you end up with 20. And the idea is not whether it's six or three or five. The idea is to get them to talk to each other until they can come to shared mindset about what are the outcomes. What is it actually that you're going to do? And we simply let them have the conversation and say, you need to negotiate this. You know, in a room, everybody stand up, go look at the wall where you've got them posted, and you don't sit down until there's only six left. Can we have backups? Sure, you can have backups.
Exactly.
Can we restate any of these words? Sure, you can. Can we use compound words like this and this, or hyphenated? Sure, we don't care. That's not the objective. The objective is for them to have the conversation and then move on to the next step. So if they end up with 15 words, you got to warn them. That means 15 sentences you have to write. And that means a lot more words that can be ambiguous that you have to define. So you let them manage themselves into it.
Thank you. All right, any questions for Jim?
Jim, I have a question. Between the sentence and the paragraph, between the sort of the description and the deep description, what can you describe a little more about what happens there?
Sure.
Yeah.
So we take a word like faster. We want our organization to be faster. So we say, okay, so now define faster. Faster means that from the time that we order, from the time that we receive and pay for raw materials until we bill and receive payment from customers is less. How much less? 50% less. 30%? Let them negotiate. Get a number. Okay, now a team can take action and say, whatever else we do, we need to be able to increase the speed from payment for raw materials to payment for consumed goods. And we need to reduce that by X percent. So we get them, we work them into a quantified number. Mm. And in that case, you'd say, so now within that sentence, what words might anybody think are ambiguous? All right, I'm sorry, I gave you a SMART goal. When? Good point. Do we need to add by what date in there? Yes. Good. So now it's less ambiguous than it was before. And somebody might say, and we want to tell them to change this and this. And you got to say, hold off. We're only dealing with the what right now. We'll get to the how later when we come to it. Does that answer your question?
It does. Yes. Thank you. That's great.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, thank you, Jim. And hang around, because again, there might be other questions and cross-pollination that we can do here, but I know we have three others at least. Pierre, I don't think is here, but three others that have volunteered some tools to share. So let's, if we can get Jody. Jody, you talked about prioritization matrix for leadership teams overwhelmed by tasks, too many priorities. I'm so big on prioritization because I think it's like one of the top problems of most organizations. So if you could share with us your prioritization matrix, we would love it.
Hi, everyone. So I'm in San Francisco Airport. So how is the sound? Can you hear?
Good.
So it's mask on and background noise and all those kind of distractions. Okay, so let me try and talk you through this one. I'll give you a scenario. You can use this for different situations, but here's a scenario. So you're supporting a senior leadership team, or maybe you're part of a senior leadership team, and you have, or they have already got a pretty clear and aligned view on what are their targets for the year ahead. So they've got a set of targets, usually more than 20 or 30 based on the teams I'm working with. So maybe too many. They're feeling overwhelmed, and they're seeing that there's some challenges in how the work gets done and all that kind of thing. So what we're going to do is have, we set up a kind of a, let's say a 2x2 matrix. So you'll have to focus while I explain what this is. I'm going to just take this off. So on the horizontal, let's say on the vertical axis, you'll have the, at the top of the axis, you'll say, here is a task that requires, let's say, the whole team to be involved in delivering this target. And at the bottom of the axis is a target which can be delivered by one or maybe two people. So that axis is about how many people will be involved in delivering this target. On the horizontal axis, you have on the left-hand side a target that is more transactional, or rather the solution is known and it just needs to be delivered. And to the right-hand side, it's a target that is an unfamiliar or complex problem that requires some kind of new solution to be developed. So what the team is going to do is they're going to map all of their targets onto that matrix so that you can see how they're spread out on the matrix. And then we're going to take a step back and have them take a look at what do they notice about that. So here is where this can help to bring some insights, organizational insights, usually, about how they're set up. So typically, let's see, if I see that there's nothing at all in the top right-hand corner, so there's nothing on the matrix that says we need this whole leadership team to be involved to solve some kind of really complex and unfamiliar problem. Rather, the whole leadership team is involved either in working by themselves on a problem or working on problems that are rather transactional. Then you might start to ask the question, is this leadership team really investing their time in doing those things that are going to really take the organization forward? So what are the things that they could be working on that only this team can achieve a solution? And what will it take to free up their time to be able to do that kind of work? If we see that, let's say all of the targets are on the lower half of the matrix, that means that they're all working individually, they're not really working as a team. Then you can look at how are they going to move from being, you know, a set of high performing individuals to a high performing team. There's quite a variety of different situations, different things that you might notice that could trigger a conversation about things that they need to do in changing their organization or changing the way that they work together. Oh, another great outcome, or not a great outcome, but another situation that I've seen is when nearly all of their targets are in the top right-hand corner. So everything they're working on, they're all involved in. It's very strategic. I've seen this when I have had a leadership team that is focused on, they're doing a lot of acquisitions. So the whole team is pulled away into looking at acquisition targets. This could be a red flag that says, well, how are they taking care of their operational business? Have they set up a team at the level below to be able to take care of that? So there's a whole different lot of things that can come up and some great discussions that come out of that. I'll pause and give you the chance to ask questions. Hopefully that was clear enough.
Anyone have a question for Jody on prioritization? I have not heard that before, Jody, so thank you for sharing that. I've not heard it used with like number of people involved, so you can kind of see the cross-section. Jim has a question. Jim.
Yeah, not a question, but a comment. Your grid also identifies what would generally be referred to as transformational goals versus transactional goals. And that's your high risk corner. Your upper right corner is always your highest risk corner. So a very simple way of helping people to understand that if you're all necessary and everything is necessary for all these things up in this right hand corner, just like you said, who's taking care of business? Great simple tool that gets a lot of different usages out of one set of questions.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Other questions or comments for Jody? Prioritization is such a hot topic for everything that I'm working on. Does anyone have questions or comments or other prioritization tools that they use that they want to share? Maybe this would be a good time to share another tool. Carlos.
I have a prioritization tool that I put one in there that I think is already in there. There's thinking about this one. There's one I use. It's for, and I'm not, I don't want to, it's leadership teams. And you tell me if it's on point or not. Leadership teams that are wrestling with all their priorities and thinking about all the work they have to do within that. So priorities is kind of a generic term. We're talking about a team that's got specific things it needs to deliver or lead the delivery of over time. And they're wrestling with, how do I make trade-offs when I run into resource constraints? I've got 15 things I got to get done in year 2022 that are all about delivering the, we've created this new organization, now we have to deliver against it, and I've got a lot going on. I'm happy to describe, it's a very simple exercise. I'll get into it, you tell me what you think. What we'll do is I'll ask them three questions. I'm trying to remember what those are now. I wasn't planning on talking about this, but essentially we create a graphic, and then these days we'll use Mural. We used to, back in the before times, we'd have a big blank piece of paper on the wall and do three concentric circles. And those three concentric circles, I would ask them to populate each of the, let's call them 15 strategically critical deliverables. I'd say, which ones would you absolutely, no matter what, not trade off against? If you needed to redeploy people or redeploy financial resources or even assets like factories, whatever those things may be. And those would go at the center of what I call that version of a radar screen. We call it the radar screen. I will not trade off against this no matter what. The second ring out is I trade off against it, but we have to see clear, the benefits would have to outweigh the risk. And the outer ring is, you know what, if we had to, we could set this aside and move resources rather readily away from that if we needed to. So we would trade off with it being not necessarily a great cost benefit analysis on the outer ring. So what you do is you force people to think about what are those absolutely critical priorities within their priorities that they would never sacrifice resources to support. Another tier that they might be willing to do that if the case were strong enough. And then the outer ring tells you, look, this stuff's important, but we can flex around it if we need to. And the conversations around it are often heated because people have their babies. And if my baby is in the center of the ring, are you telling me my baby isn't pretty or important or meaningful? And it was a tool I adapted from a different tool I used in the collaboration space when I got this leadership team that just reorganized the whole business. It was for a big global shipping company. And they were being asked to deliver a ridiculous amount of stuff against this new design they were in. And it worked brilliantly. And I've used it several times since.
I love that, Carlos. Thank you. I use a similar tool called, trade-off matrix, I call it, but it's the same idea. I use it more for driver than for work. But it's gotten into some really interesting conversations. Like I worked with a fraud team and it was like, and they said their main driver, their fixed number one inner shell, I guess, was to meet their dates. And I was like, okay, so that's a driver over stopping fraud.
Right.
Right. And I was like a moment of silence. And they were like, that's what we do. That is what we do. We choose meeting executive dates over stopping fraud. But we're not going to do that as starting now, right? But it did bring out some of those conversations.
Yeah. And you find out what's truly near and dear to people when you hypothesize about what they might have to give up to get what they say they really want.
Yeah, it's a good tool. Any questions on that tool? Comments? What did you call it, Carlos? Did you call it trade-off matrix or you call it something?
Yeah, we call it the trade-off radar screen.
Yeah.
What's at the center of the radar screen that we have to keep there, you know, and land, absolutely land, hence the radar screen analogy in that one, versus the stuff in the outer ring that if we needed to reroute it somewhere else, we could send it off and not worry about it.
Well, stay on camera with us anyway, because you're next in terms of the scorecards for org design criteria that we use when discussing the short list of alternatives. You can tell I'm reading that from the from the house space.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one that it's such a basic tool. I wasn't expecting. I didn't realize I'd have to talk about it if I put it in there. So can I share a screen?
Yeah, of course.
But let me describe the situation. This is from a case study I use with when I'm teaching internal folks, because that's what I've been an internal consultant most of my career. But we were working with the internal organization, going to HR service center model. Away from a very, very high touch HR organization to much, much more self-service. And it was done in stages, region by region around the globe, one of the last regions being Asia Pacific. And we were debating where to site the hub for the HR self-service. Now, Asia Pac, as you know, if you're including China, Australia, we're all the way over to India. It's a massive, massive area with time zone differences that are considerable within it. And it was a big discussion debate on how will we know if the place we put it is the right place? So it was an implementation of the design. We knew we had to do something in Asia Pacific. We figured out what we thought it would be. Where are we going to put it? So it was more on the back end of the design process. So this is the example I'm using here is less of an org design, but I adapted it from my org design toolkit, if that's fair. And so we had to develop criteria. What would the optimal thing look like? And what we decided to do was, because there were, how do I put this? In the previous organization, there was Mars talks about, I worked for Mars at the time. They don't call them employees, they call them associates. So you'll keep hearing me say the word associate. So this is associate service center, where you would call, where would it go? If the new choice about site, how do I say it? I'm not describing well. We determined that there were three alternatives, three or four. A zero, you would rate the alternative zero if it didn't materially improve over the existing setup, right? So this choice over here would deliver about the same results as the of what we were doing now. That gets a zero. If it's better, it gets a one. If it's worse, it gets a minus one. If it's much better, it gets a plus two. If it's much worse, it gets a minus two. So we did everything compared to alternative zero, which was not really changing the organization that much, keeping the site where it was and just changing people's ways of working within it, right? Then alternative one was one of these cities, and I'll show you a slide in a minute. Alternative two, I think there might have been four alternative sites actually that we had to choose from, that ultimately we wanted to serve the new HR model optimally. And we're trying to assess whether it would really be better than what we have today or not. So let me share my screen and see if this makes any sense. And this isn't groundbreaking stuff, and I don't expect a whole lot of, it's not a super special thing, but this is how we did it. We had choices in Beijing, Guangzhou, Singapore, and Shanghai. And across the top of the criteria that we developed for this particular choice within the deployment of the design, could we get people? Did they have the right language capabilities? The cost of talent? We had ranked these, as you can see across the top, the two criteria on the left, most important, available talent and language capabilities, we agreed that those got some priority. And if we had to weight them, we would. More important were cost of talent, cost of real estate, and important, but not that important, were the reliable IT infrastructure in these countries and the ability for people to get around. Now, this was pre-pandemic, so getting to the office, so to speak, was a big deal. Today, that probably wouldn't make the cut. So we had everybody score these things using that scale at the bottom. Zero being about the same as, one is better than, two much better than, and then to the left, worse. And each individual does the scorecard at their table seat. And then we reveal the answers. The point of this is just to get to a discussion where you start to dig in, where you say, look, well, you've rated Beijing available talent as a much better a two. We know that the war for talent in China is extremely intense. Well, how do you see it as available talent when people are getting cherry picked all the time, taken away from our company to go elsewhere? You got to justify that. Talk to me about why you've rated it so high and how that contributes to your total score. You get into a lot of those debates and discussions, clarifying people's assumptions about what they think the strength of a particular attribute is. And it ends up being, like so many of these things we've talked about, all about the conversation and facilitating a discussion that surfaces assumptions, good, bad, or not. And that's, does that make sense? First of all, does the layout make sense? And I've used this for straight up org design alternatives, right? If you've got three alternative organizations that you want to draw from, or thinking about the high level org designs, it's exactly where I got this, this model, which I learned from somebody else somewhere along the line. I think while I was working at IBM as an internal consultant. Sorry, it's so muddled. I really wasn't prepared to talk to it, and I usually benefit from some prep, so I apologize.
Okay, Carl, no problem. We appreciate seeing this. Questions?
Yeah, I really appreciated that frame. We've used scoring of design criteria in a slightly different way. So once you come up with your list of attributes, we do a 0 to 5 ranking on kind of where are we today? Right. Like this is purely aspirational versus like we're best in class at this. And it really helps to highlight gaps, which then can translate into priorities of, okay, where do we need to focus first in the org design implementation. Yep. But I appreciate this different kind of scoring system as well.
Great. Thank you.
And I appreciate just the different visualizations, depending on the group that you're working with. Sort of, the chart versus the concentric circles and what's going to work best, right? Like what's going to draw them into the conversation and just, you know, having that range of possibility.
The graphics help so much, don't they? Just visualizing it, putting it into some kind of shape, I find really, really benefits participants hugely. It enriches the conversation.
Yeah.
When you can do that.
Thank you, Carlos. That was really useful. And speaking of visualization being helpful, our next volunteer is Carol, who came out of retirement to join iObeya, a visual management platform, which was what sparked me. And we can circle back and have questions for everyone, but I want to make sure to get you a chance to speak, especially because we are on the topic of visualization.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks. I appreciate it. I also was not planning on speaking today. I was just the topic caught my eye. So that's why I joined this group. So I'm really excited to meet everybody and be here. But I really did come out of retirement. I've been in the Agile space for quite a while, and I thrive on visualization. I don't really understand what a lot of people say to me unless I can write a picture, draw a picture, or something like that. But I was always really intrigued with some of the practices out there that do commit to visualization, just like Sally talked about her radars and the visualization around that, right? You can just take a picture, and visual management is all about having the right information at the right time for the right people to make the right decisions as quickly as possible, reduce decision latency and all that kind of stuff. So when I found iObeya, it was actually because of another company that I was really intrigued with many years ago called Nareva, and they had this awesome product called SpanWorks. It was very much like Miro and Mural, but different. And a friend of mine came to me and said, I think you got to come out of retirement and do this with us, because that's just what I love to do. So anyway, what it is, iObeya, it does not mean I obey you. So if that's what you're thinking, that's not what it means. iObeya is Japanese for large room. And back in the day, there was the Toyota production system was using the Obeya method to produce the Toyota Prius. And it was really visualizations. Many of you might know it as war rooms. We all used war rooms before, unless you're not as old as me. But anyway, so visualizing what you need at the right time to make quick decisions. And iObeya is a product, and I, like I said, I wasn't prepared to talk about this, but so I'm not even going to show any slides. I will share a quick video if you guys want me to, that I prepared for the Business Agility Institute conference. And that was helpful because earlier, and I'm sorry, I can't remember the gentleman's name, was talking about, you know, getting things down to a few short sentences that you can remember and understand things. And Evan, thank you very much for making it 3 minutes or less, because do you know how hard it is to get all of this information and visualization into 3 minutes or less? So we did it in 2 minutes and 15 seconds. But if you can visualize your strategy or anything that you can think about that you could do in Miro and Mural, that's your strategy. That's your figuring out what you need to do. But then how do you manage that? How do you see your strategy to your execution? What are you working on, right? Who's got too much whip? How can the right people help you get less whip? How can you prioritize the work that you need to get done versus the work that you think you need to get done? Or how do you know if the work that you're doing is actually aligned with the strategy for the entire company? Number one, if you're doing work that's not aligned, why are you doing that work? Number one. And number two is, do you know what the strategy for the company is? So it creates transparency and all those kinds of things. So think about, I asked somebody one day, Miro and Mural, they're great for whiteboarding and brainstorming and that kind of stuff, but they're not a system. So iObeya allows you to build a visual management system throughout the entire enterprise. We're enterprise grade software, we're ISO 27001, you can use it on-prem or on cloud. And I just love showing people this product. Think about one thing, think about a task that And I know dependencies aren't good, but nobody ever gets rid of every dependency, right? So think about a task that you need to get done, but you also know that marketing has to do something with that too, right? Wouldn't it be nice to send that sticky, not rewrite it, not retype it, not do anything with it, just synchronize it with the marketing team and then have a conversation with them and say, hey, I need to get this done by X date. Can you do that your part by this date? And then it creates those conversations. In iObeya, you can do that. We have this really awesome thing called, like I said, synchronized cards. There's things called My Cards where you can click on a little button. It shows you all the cards that you've been assigned to or have taken assignment of throughout the entire enterprise. Board previews. Oh, so cool. So again, think about at the highest level of the organization, you don't want to know everything that's going on, but you don't want to know when somebody wants some help or needs some help, right? Think about if you're doing a scrum of scrums, maybe. You've had your daily scrum, if you're using scrum, you've had your daily scrum and you go, okay, well, this needs to get to the scrum of scrums because if we don't get that decision made today, we're going to be 6 months out after that. So you actually send this board preview, like a little tiny piece of your board, and show the impact that that decision is going to be if you don't make it today. So it's just a really great way, especially in this new digital world that we've got to work in for the rest of our lives. It allows you to do both, you know, physically and digitally. So that's what iObeya is all about.
Carol, did you want to show the video? We have just.
Oh, do you want to see it now?
Well, let's see.
I put the link in the chat.
Oh, you put the link in the chat to the. Okay, so let's.
Yeah, if you want to play it, that'd be great. And then if anybody has any questions. Well, I'm 2 minutes and 15 seconds.
Yeah, I'm going to let you. We just have 5 minutes left, 6 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
So folks, just watch that maybe offline. And then if we could chat about it in the house space, we can continue this whole conversation there. Because I know there's a lot of stuff in the house space that that people still want to talk about. So we can continue the conversation there. But before we do that, any questions for Carol? All right. Well, okay. So on the video, and the link is also going to be in the house space. Tanya just put it up. Thank you, Tanya.
Oh, thank you, Tanya.
Always have everyone's back. Good. I can't wait to watch that either. Actually, I do have a question for you, Carol, though. Is it basically like a network of Kanban boards? Like, is that what it is connecting the?
Or is it's not just Kanban boards. So it's whatever you want. We tell you it's so you can create your entire way of working that you want. Completely framework agnostic, but it does have what we call integrated boards. So you could create, like, if people use do PI planning or something like that, think about that. You could do a PI planning and team boards, or if you're, again, it really doesn't matter what you do, but it's got Kanban boards. You can create your own backgrounds. You can do all of the systems thinking that Sally was talking about. You can create your own board backgrounds for those. And we've also got like a library of about 300 different backgrounds. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, but what it does is it connects from one room to the next. We talk about rooms and boards in the rooms. Mm-hmm. It connects. So you can actually send, like I was talking about board preview or tickets, you can actually send them from one room to another and connect them between rooms. And it's also got a complete bi-directional integration with Jira. So you can make your entire Jira implementation visual.
Oh, I see. Okay, great. Well, I can't wait to take a look at that because that's a problem that I face all the time.
Many do.
For it. Thank you so much for sharing.
Sure.
So we have 4 minutes. And Evan, I know you had something on here about competence, empathy, and confidence. Do you want to do 2 minutes on that and just give me 1 minute at the end to make sure everyone comes to the Business Agility Conference and the Org Design Conference? Or maybe you can also encourage
that. So just very, very quickly, and I'll note it's 5 a.m. here, or actually almost 6. So I may not be at my most competent. Early on in my career, I was not a good manager. And there's an entire story behind that, which I definitely don't have time to get into. one of the things, I basically got promoted to my level of incompetence, the Peter principle. I was very good at doing what it was that I was being promoted to lead, but not good at being a manager or in this case, an executive. These three characteristics, competence, confidence, and empathy, were what I sort of developed at the time in terms of a management model for myself. I've never sort of written about this, but this was something that I realized I had to have all three in equal proportion. Confidence and empathy without competence is fraud. And that's kind of where I was. I didn't know what I was doing. I had to learn. Confidence and competence without empathy is arrogance. And we see that a lot in a lot of junior managers, people who just starting that career. And unfortunately, competence and empathy, someone who can do the job and is good with other people, without confidence is untrustworthy. I'm not saying they're not trusted. Sorry. They're not untrustworthy. We don't trust them. We as people generally, and very unfortunately, trust confidence. And so you might be really great at your job, but if you don't act like you are, and I don't mean arrogantly act, because again, this is the empathy part, but if you don't have confidence in yourself, no one will have confidence in you. And so all three are needed. I was definitely missing some of those. And so something that I had to develop as a sort of a personal management tool. I also put in HowSpace two other tools, which I'm not going to have time to look at. If you haven't seen them, I think it was Jim was talking about teams in India and so forth. I recommend reading up about Culture Compass or Hofstadter's Power Distance Index, or his cultural dimensions. It's based on a piece of research he did. Basically, you can look at a number of different cultural dimensions, including power distance, across different countries around the world. And this is based on tens of thousands of data points. It's really interesting. The other one is Professor Stephen Rice's 16 Basic Desires, which is a model of human motivation, from power to family to vengeance to romance. If anyone's in a management or leadership role, those two tools, I would definitely suggest you have a look at.
Vengeance. Sorry, you had me at vengeance.
Okay. But that motivation is the motivation to win. Highly competitive sports people, they will win and they will keep trying until they win.
Okay. So I know we're at time. Thank you so much, Evan. There's a request from Carlos for links in the chat, but maybe we put the links into HowSpace so that we can continue the conversation there and have them be more persistent than leaving us when we end this call. Thank you everyone for coming. There's so many good tools that were shared that I can't wait to go play with. More tools in HowSpace that we can talk about. And then I hope to see you all in New York at the end of the month on March 22nd and 23rd for the Business Agility Conference. Coming to my hometown, and then in Louisville at the end of April for the Org Design Conference. So I hope to see you all there. And thank you so much for attending. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.